This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. I'm at the Pleasant Street Tea Company once again. This time we're with Dr. Christine McGrath, formerly Superintendent of Schools in Tewksbury. How you doing, Christine?
I'm doing just fine, Rick. Thanks for asking.
Okay, I'll give you that in 1 second. Let me get this thing started by your roles. You have many roles, and you've played many roles, and everybody in Gloucester knows who you are. And much to our chagrin, as a former educator, you weren't our superintendent, but we were hoping. That's another story. At any rate, you go from Tewksbury to what you're doing now, and please enlighten us as to what your role is and what organization you're with, because you're wearing a few hats.
Yes, I am. For the past 8 years, I've served as the Director of Operations for the Massachusetts Association of School Superintendents.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so tell me about that program. Where it's located, the offices, and what it involves, and how you got into that.
Well, we're located on the campus of Minuteman Regional Vocational Technical School in Lexington, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I was a longtime member, obviously, as a superintendent. I was a longtime member of the Superintendents Association, had the privilege of serving on its executive committee for about a decade, and then rose through the chairs and became president of the association. And over the years, our membership has changed. When I began as superintendent in 1991, 10% of our membership were represented by women. Now it's closer to 40% of our membership are women. So when I was about to retire in 2010, Tom Scott, my boss, our executive director, approached me and said it would be really helpful if our organization employed a woman administrator, an experienced superintendent, to respond to the changing face mm-hmm. of our organization. And I've been doing that now. I'm in my 8th year. And the heart of what we do is member service, whether it's technology, whether it's professional development, it's people calling and saying, you know, I have this situation, can you walk me through some options? You know, being the superintendent, you are, quote, the top dog in the school system, but that position is oftentimes a lonely position because you're the one person doing that job. So we're there to support our members. We recently had our midwinter meeting. We had our featured speaker was Dr. Lori Leishen, who is the president of WPI, Worcester Polytechnical Institute, because we are focusing right now, as is the Department of Education, as are our legislators and our governor, we are focused on digital literacy and helping children be prepared to take their place in the future digital world. So we that's kind of what I do. I mean, Sunday I was at the John F. Kennedy Library to support Project 351, which is a project that sends an eighth grader from each of our 351 communities to a day of service. This was a Governor Deval Patrick initiative that has been carried on, and as superintendents, we're big supporters of that. So I do a variety of things. I'm chairing a team right now. We have 275 women coming to a women's conference in March, and that's on the topic of empowering women leaders. So it's a great opportunity, and I love what I do.
I have so many questions that came out of what you just said, but I do know that one of the things that has arisen around here on the North Shore is that from time to time, a former superintendent will fill in as an interim superintendent, and I think that's pretty helpful for those schools who are looking for someone. But also, Christine, more importantly, I think what you said about women's role now and how it's growing and how, for want of a better phrase, women are being treated better and standing. This is a special time right now, a special year, and so it seems that it's so appropriate what you're doing, and you not only can be a spokesperson, but you're also a role model for a lot of kids.
You would hope so. The focus of our upcoming conference is on empowerment not just of women, but it's on empowerment of children. We will feature three important presentations on that particular day. First is a group called SPARK, which is a group that was formulated in the Natick Westboro area by parents with school administrators on how to empower resilient kids. So they're going to make a presentation on how they're empowering children. Be followed by a panel presentation of three very powerhouse female leaders. Mary Jakowski, superintendent in Lexington, who's going to talk about a project at Lexington High School, which is entitled Lexington Rocks, how they are empowering their students. Followed by a presentation by Mary Bork, superintendent in Chelsea, of how she is empowering the dreamers who come to school in the Chelsea Public Schools each day. Followed by Carolyn Casey, who is the executive director of this Project 351. And our luncheon speaker is going to be Lisa Hughes, who is the news anchor for WBZ, who will talk about empowering women in her field. So it's an interesting time.
And it's so appropriate and dynamic in this time, how things are changing. And it sounds like, you know, that this is nothing but positive for the kids. It sounds terrific. And I didn't realize that that what you do is so all-encompassing. I know that you are traveling a lot, and tell me about that, how that works in, because, you know, we discussed earlier when I saw you before about some of your travels, but I didn't quite understand what that's related to, and you're off again.
Yes, I have the privilege of chairing a team for the New England Association of Schools and Colleges, NEASC, mm-hmm. Accredits institutions that you and I know and love, Gloucester High School, Harvard University, Brown University. But we also have a division, Rick, that accredits schools around the world. So I've had the privilege of serving on teams to places like Buenos Aires, Kazakhstan. I've been to Bangladesh. I'm about to chair a team to the Ukraine, to the city of Kiev. And we will look, that's an American school, they representing 40 nationalities. So the essence of the student population is if you came home and said to your wife, Martha, I have great news, Martha, I just got a big promotion, and I'm going to Kiev. And Martha looks at you and says, I'm not taking the children out of the Gloucester Public Schools to go to Kiev. Well, we represent a comparable, okay, high-quality educational opportunity within the confines of the city of Kiev. So representing 40 nationalities, the language of instruction is English, and we will go in and evaluate them, measure them against a set of standards. And what is particularly interesting for me is I will chair a team of people who are coming from all over the globe. There's some coming from Kazakhstan. There's some coming from Spain, from everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's a great learning opportunity.
My head is spinning, and I did go to an American school when we lived in Germany, so I get that, and I'm glad there's some oversight. What have you learned in your travels, Christine? Is there any one thread, or is everything different? Have you learned anything, you know, that you can bring back and say, okay, this is something that that I see everywhere, or how does that work? Well, you know, in other words, a general overall picture, if there is one, of stuff that you have found in your travels.
I think one of the most interesting things, and I will cite my experience at the St. Stephen's School in Rome. Now, this school was a 9 through 12th grade school right in Rome proper. And their ability to utilize the resources of the host culture, Rome proper, the art museums, the ancient ruins, to enhance instruction. So you come back to Gloucester and you think, how could we enhance our educational program by using the many vibrant resources that we have? I've worked in early childhood. I've worked in secondary education. And the school that I'm doing in Kiev is grounded in the principles of the primary years program from the International Baccalaureate. So I love project-based learning, so I'm sure that I will expand my knowledge base by having visited that school. You also have to be respectful of the local culture and practices. I was recently on a team, the Kazakhstan team, where we had to stop the functioning of our team 5 times over the course of, you know, you work a 16-hour day, it's labor-intensive, but we had to stop 5 times because 2 people on the team had to stop and pray. So you become very respectful of that. I did a school in Amman, Jordan, and I'm a runner. I certainly did not run the streets of Amman because that would not be proper protocol. So you know, as they say, when in Rome.
There you go.
I actually teach a course to any teachers listening out there called Facts, Fictions, Fable, and Folklore of Cape Ann, which addresses what you were talking about with the local culture. But, you know, a question that just came to mind, Christine, and we didn't really talk about this in our pregame warm-up, but this kind of enhancement is what I used to do as a math teacher before MCAS came in, and MCAS sort of restricted what we could do. So is that changing with Common Core, or how are you able to come back and recommend to local schools this kind of thing, adding enhancement, adding, you know, some outside resources, if you will?
You know, it's interesting. I'm currently working in the Concord-Carlisle Public Schools. They have a first-year superintendent, and part of my responsibility is coaching new superintendents. They have a program that's called Rivers and Revolution, which is a semester-long course. It enrolls about 100 youngsters, and they go out and do authentic research, field-based opportunities. And they're able to do that because the youngsters have fulfilled the requirements associated with the competency determination. So I think at the high school level, in grades 11 and 12, at least we have the latitude to provide those types of authentic learning experiences. I think in K through 10, the high-stakes testing has certainly changed the game. And I think the authentic learning experiences from my school visits and observations are happening through social studies instruction, science instruction. You are seeing, the reality is, extended time blocks for English language arts and math instruction because people are attentive to meeting the standards for children to be successful on the high-stakes test, for better or worse.
Well, that sounds good. I can live with that, I guess. As an aside, Christine, you mentioned we were talking once before about the superintendent's involvement in a recent sports case that is very interesting to us. And I wonder if you could tell us anything about that. It had to do with a young lady who, at age 15, I believe, won an all-boys golf tournament recently. And there was a little controversy over that. And what can you tell us about that?
Oh, sure. Emily was on a co-educational golf team and had participated in postseason play. And as a very, very mediocre golfer, I'm thrilled that she won the tournament. I think what little I know of Emily from her superintendent is that she is a very quiet, thoughtful young woman and has shied away from some of the notoriety that has come with this victory. But it raised some concern among our members, our superintendents, about our current relationship with the Massachusetts Interscholastic Athletic Association. We recently met with Bill Gaines, their executive director, and two superintendents who serve on the MIAA Board of Directors. And I think the outcome of that meeting was very positive, that they have made, MIAA has made a commitment to look at some of their current rules and regulations. You know, as superintendents, we all lived by the MIAA Blue Book. MIAA has a regulatory responsibility for monitoring the conduct of student athletes around drug or alcohol consumption and having to sit an athlete out should they make bad decisions. They also regulate the tournament play for about 30 sports across our state. And it's a structure that's been in place for a lot of years. And do those structures need to be altered? As a superintendent's association, we're constantly looking at, do we need to alter practice to be responsive to the needs of our members? Yes, we do. And I think MIAA has made a commitment to the superintendent's association to look at their practices. They have a lot of different committees. They have a games committee. They have a rules committee. They have a tournament committee. They have a committee for every single sport. So does the golf committee have to rethink their practice regarding a more equitable treatment of all athletes? So it's a good relationship. It's a healthy relationship. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is the administration for the Interscholastic Athletic Association is the same administration as for the Principals Association. So as a Superintendents Association, we interact with both of those organizations in a positive and productive way and on a regular basis.
Well, I'm glad you're looking at it, because we've had a lot of discussion about sportsmanship with related to that incident, so I'm glad you're looking at it. Christine, I've got a million more questions, but we can leave that, I hope, for another session. Is there anything else that you want to mention about the association that you're with, or your travels, or education in general?
I think it's a very interesting time in education. As you probably are well aware, the Board of Education on Monday has appointed a new commissioner, Jeff Riley. Superintendent Riley comes from a very interesting role as being the highly successful receiver in the Lawrence Public Schools, and our association works very closely with the commissioner and his senior staff, and I really look forward to this new chapter with Commissioner Riley, and I'm in a very enviable position. I thoroughly enjoyed being a public school superintendent, and it's great to give back to support those men and women, not the least of which is our very talented Superintendent Richard Sapphire in Gloucester, to supporting those men and women in the important work that they're doing.
Well, you've been a role model for every educator I know in the city of Gloucester, and it's great to see you so active in doing what you're doing now. And when's your next trip?
Next trip is February 24th. I hit the ground running in Kiev, Ukraine, and looking forward to it.
All right, thank you. That is Dr. Christine McGrath. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.